Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast to preview the 2025 Valspar Championship at Innisbrook Country Club. We'll recap the players as well, which was a fun one, and much, much more. But before we do that, you can find me on Twitter at BDentrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm great, dude. It's March. It's playoff time in the TGL.
Yes, it is.
Big matchup tonight, so looking forward to it.
Yes, big matchup tonight. Who's playing?
LA and New York. I mean, biggest fucking cities in the country, dude.
Well, because that means Atlanta and the Bays tomorrow. I knew the matchups. I just forgot who was in it. So, like, give me at least half credit. Like, I knew who was playing who, which is a big step for me in this one. Who do you got?
We're on LA minus. I got them. I think minus 120 earlier. They're up to minus 130 on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Minus 130. He's going to parlay LA and the Bay, or what are we doing?
That's probably not a bad idea. I haven't done that yet.
Okay, this is coming from this guy. Just remember, so I don't know what bad ideas. Plus
30. So yeah, we'll do that too.
Parlay that, and you know, see, have some fun with some TGL. And if you lose, if somehow LA loses, we just hammer the Bay on that.
Right. On correct. Tuesday. Yeah, because the Bay's not losing even without El Capitan.
Yeah, who has literally been the best player in the, right. Which is weird. But if anybody can screw this up, and can you just imagine the memes that get created would be Billy Ho if he somehow finds a way to screw this whole thing up with Atlanta.
It wouldn't surprise me a bit.
No. His meme game, him and Glover. Oh my goodness. Like, if Glover really wants to make this feel authentic, he starts sweating through his clothes. But I will tune in. I'll put it on as background fodder as I'm doing something in my office, but I am curious to see how the playoffs go, to see if they mix it up at all, or if there's any intensity, because the Jupiter Lynx are gone and a couple other bad teams, like Boston Common. The two creators are not even in the playoffs, which is ironic to this thing. Not to mention, we haven't talked because we were off last week. LT Gray may never see a PGA Tour event like of relevance in ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's that you're probably, I mean, at his age, at our age, you're looking at year and a half
at least
rehab, you think? Yeah. Off of an Achilles. I mean, I'm assuming that he tore it. I didn't see the details.
I think I saw in-depth procedure is what I saw. So that tells me a torn.
Doesn't sound very good. I mean, that sucks, dude. I mean, it's been one thing after another with him. And unfortunately, that last car wreck really, I think, derailed any type of us seeing him back in any kind of 2019 form ever again. And then now, you know, just something else to add on top of that. So, yeah, it's really just sucks.
Because the biggest thing is he might be able to do this, that, or the other. I don't see him ever being able to, like, walk four rounds of golf again. Like,
right.
That's just not going to happen. So, thus, Champions Tour, we get to use golf carts, three rounds. I think that could – I just don't know if his ego will allow that to happen, but it'd be fun just watching him trash talk like Freddie Couples and stuff who he's buddies with. Like that.
I think most likely we'll just see him on TGL and that's it.
Yeah, sadly, I think you are right. But we'll see. Might be the end of Tiger, unfortunately. Thoughts on the players where we saw – a definite wave advantage for like the third straight tournament. It feels like PMAM just dominated without even really any major weather the first day. It's just stuff dried out and the course played nicer, I guess. So we had that go, and then we had just pure insanity on Saturday, a little bit more insanity, but the rain kind of stopped it from getting out of control on Sunday. And then the three hole playoff on Monday where Rory McIlroy took home his second championship of the season. And I saw a tweet by Justin Ray. This is the first time in Rory's career he's won two tournaments on the U.S. soil before the Masters in his entire career.
Did you know he's never won in April?
That is insane.
Yeah. I mean, they've done some different stuff with which I think are good. Which I think are good things with the stadium course to make it more difficult. It's a really fun golf course to just watch. Just from the tee boxes, it's so cool to just see what Pete Dye envisioned at that place, because the bunkers and just it's just a beautiful place in my opinion. But and it's, you know, got one of the best three hole stretches closing, you know, closing stretches in golf. And was evidenced by the, obviously the playoff that we got, but I thought Rory should just won it when, especially when he's three up. Spawn played really well to on the back nine on Sunday to kind of make it a tournament. But Rory had two bunnies that he just completely whiffed on and almost missed that. I'm sure you
on saw 18. Dude, I had the tweets ready to fly. Oh, I just got so much fun with that. I was like, here we go again. I'm thinking it. I'm staring at my TV, standing up, and I'm like, he's going to do this again, isn't he? This is US Open all over again, or PGA, whatever it was. I'm like, this is happening.
I mean, you know, to his that's a tough two putt from where he was. He shouldn't have ever put himself there when he's in the middle of the damn fairway. He should have gotten the ball back closer to the hole off the second shot, but he's there on the front of the green. That's a tough two putt. He hits it pin high, just is, you know, 3 or 4 feet left or whatever. And yeah, I mean, that the hole just swallowed it somehow. I thought he missed it whenever at first I thought it was going to lip out, but anyways, and then I'm sure you watched today as well, you said you watched at least the second half.
I basically saw Spawn find the drink, and
the thing was over after Rory hit his first tee ball on 16. I mean, that's just otherworldly the way he hit that tee shot. Spawn's in the rough, and actually, I mean, he got a great break to get it over the water and get it up in that bunker. It's a terrible bunker shot. Rory's in the middle of green, almost three putts that one. You can't make it up. And then 17, yeah, it's just unfortunate that JJ thought he had a good club, and obviously it was one too many because Rory was hitting a 9-iron. He looks over, sees Rory's hitting a 9. Well, I probably should hit an 8. Rory's not hitting a full 9. You know, Rory's hitting a flighted 9-iron that he knows is going to go 140 yards.
Yep.
But that's part of golf, man. Part of golf.
What's pretty weird, maybe Spawn did, I don't know. No one mentioned it because he didn't win, but I was watching some of the stuff after the fact from the people on site there, and they were showing Rory, you know, practice on the range, and he was basically hitting it almost backwards. He's basically taking all the different shots. And he purposely said his last, like, three shots were the Island Green shot. He wanted to be honed in from this. And I think it's, like, looking back, that's duh, that's what you should do. That, like, makes, like, it's the most important shot of the entire three-hole stretch, basically.
Right.
Like, this is it. So I really want to know what Spawn did in warm-ups. I don't know if we'll ever get that answer. But, like, if he says he did, I know if I'd be shrimp from Barstool if I'm out there trying to hit that shot. Like, I'm all over that thing. But as a professional, it's like they talk about the guy that marks the ball on the green, and it's like he has to come back Saturday morning to putt. So you practice that putt, like, 50,000 times.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm practicing that 140-yard Island Green shot at least my last five shots, probably.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean,
that's the one shot I'm making sure I'm comfortable hitting when I leave that driving range.
You know, it's in the same spot. The tees and the hole are in the same spot as yesterday. Yep. The wind is different. It's in your face instead of behind. Yep. Otherwise, you got to hit. You know, you got to factor that in a little bit. What's it blowing into? So then how far do I need to hit this? And yeah, you got a track man. Every single one of them has a track man.
Yep.
So figure it out.
I'd have that dialed in, dude.
I'm with you on that.
The only excuse I'd have is if there was nerves, but using the wrong club isn't a nerves thing. That's just like you didn't have it planned out. That's my only question. And I shouldn't critique a pro. They're going to kick my ass any day of the week out there. But if I'm a pro,
that's
also
what we're here to do.
I'm doing this. Well, yeah, but also if I'm a pro, I'm doing these things. Like,
right.
That's just one you don't do. Now, if you pull it or you did this or that, okay, shit happens. But you at least have the right club in hand, knowing this is what I'm hitting from, like, the tee box.
Right.
I'm with you. That's a bit of the concerns. Like, when that went in the drink, I was like, wow. Like, I get, you know, missing fairways or something, because that happened all week out there.
So I thought he hit it perfect because, like, he hit it pretty high and it was cutting back into him. Like, oh, this is going to be really good. It's going to catch that slope and kind of feed down. No. Just touch them all, man. Home run, buddy.
Yeah, it's basically we're going. It's back, gone. Someone needs to get a Chris Berman call on that one real quick and throw it out there on the socials.
Nine iron may have been too much, but I don't know. It just was. I mean, nine iron probably hits obviously 10, 15 yards shorter, but still, I mean, it's just wild. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy for Rory. I'm a Rory McIlroy fan. It helps whenever I bet him on Sunday, whenever he was, I woke like whenever 6:50. I first started paying attention because you know they had the early start, so like I didn't wake up when they I slept in and woke up and he was 300 through three or whatever. I was like, oh shit, and he was still plus money at that point. I was like, well,
yeah, smart move on your part.
You know,
yeah, smart move on your. Even if that doesn't hit, that's like at the moment that's a
right. Good, you're gonna be plus strategy. Money against the rest of these guys. I mean, look at the rest of this leaderboard.
Yeah, it was bad. Like Cantley's the only name people would know. Like us, we knew all the names, but right. Like for the average fan, if they turned it on, they're like, "Who? Yeah. Bud Colley?
Yeah,
Alex,
right.
Alex Smalley? Like Tom? I like playing these guys at like 7,400, right. But
Akshay, who's this guy?
Yeah,
you know Lucas Glover. That guy's 45 years old.
Dude, dadgummit. yeah, it was like I as a the, you know idiot golf fan. Like, ah, it's a fun looking leaderboard here. The average fan tuning in. If Rory's not on that leaderboard, I don't think anybody's watching NBC on Sunday. I'll tell you that much. No. That thing got turned off real quick.
Yeah.
But, yeah, to ask you then, since you are a Rory fan, you say, what's your thoughts on stealing the cell phone?
Yeah, I – it's just tough. Because, you know, I've seen people call him a bitch, and I get that. But I also get the perspective of, like, you're getting harassed. So, I mean, it was just a really weird way to go about that. Cause all you got to do is just, hey, say, hey, security guy, he's gone and he's gone. You don't take the dude's phone.
Which he did after the fact anyway. So like,
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have to do both. You can just do one. It was bizarre, dude. I don't know. Rory, obviously is in a weird mental spot. And that may stem from a lot of things last summer, but he's not putting up with any shit. I'll tell you that.
No, he's not. That was just one of those. At first, I thought it was like, okay, it's coming up from like that. I saw it on the nuclear. It's got to be fake. And then it just kept coming up everywhere. I'm like, oh, jeez, he actually took a dude's phone. Not to mention, we find out the dude is like a semi-pro, like collegiate athlete.
Right.
Like. It wasn't some slapdick like me running out there going right. Like seven beers deep.
Bob does sports. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just bizarre as hell. I've never seen it like that. I've been to a lot of practice rounds and never seen one of those.
No.
But all right. Any other thoughts on the players? You know, you got your typical miscut, carnage. You got some other goodies. Anything else before we talk Valspar?
I got nothing. Let's move on.
All right. Let's go to Valspar. Like I said, Innisbrook Country Club. We got a full field, T65 and ties make it into the weekend. What do you got for some past event history?
Yeah, it's been played here for a long time. Last year, Peter Malnati was the champion, 12 under, two shots over Cam Young. 2023 was Taylor Moore, 10 under, one shot over Adam Schenck. 2022 was Sam Burns for the second time in a row, 17 under in a playoff over Davis Riley. The year before, he was 17 under, three shots over Keegan Bradley. 2020 was canceled. 2019 was Paul Casey. Back-to-back, Adam Hadwin, past champion. Jordan Spieth, who's not in the field. Oh, he is in the field.
He Jordan is in the Spieth, field,
past yeah. champion in 2015. That's about all we probably really need to know. Woodland okay. won this in 2011, but I'm not sure if he's playing either.
Yeah, I didn't see his name unless he's way down the board. Okay, sorry. You mentioned Spieth. I got to bring him up. Okay, I got to bring Spieth up before we go on any farther.
Sure.
The dude was such must-see TV both days. Both days. Like, I'd get home from work because it was raining, so I'd watch a lot on TV when I was in my office here. And, like, on Friday, hitting the shot left-handed out of the shit. And then, like, it was Thursday. Like, if you went and just looked on the app, the shot tracker, just where he was at, that dude was a roller coaster of emotions this week.
Yeah.
Full speed.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, 70, 71, 73, 78.
Yeah. I think on Thursday on the front nine, would he have like two eagles, two doubles, like a break?
That's yeah, crazy. Yeah. His front nine on Thursday was nuts. But it was the full Spieth experience. One thing we didn't talk about it too was Minwoo and Akshay being over in the range and doing Spieth drops on Saturday. I don't know if you saw that or not.
No, it I took did not.
20 minutes to play this hole, and they were like hit it in the jungle, and they're dropping on the range. And then Bones is like, I have no idea how far this is, and they don't either. And they, I mean, it was after that, Minwoo was done. Akshay was able to bounce back, but just a bizarre scene. And I mean, very Spieth esque from, yeah. I mean, like the dude, I don't understand how he's such a bad driver of the golf ball sometimes.
That's what gets me. Like, he's won at this tournament, so I'll transition that into the course preview here. Like, where this is, like, he's the prototypical, like, what the heck happened here and how did he pull it off?
2015, though, he was playing
a lot better than that's true. But like, it's Copperhead, it's a Copperhead course, Innisbrook Country Club, where we're going here. And they call it Copperhead Course at Innisbrook Resort. Sorry, but it's in Florida, so another Florida course here, but. Unlike, you know, what we've seen lately, it's kind of a, where other courses are kind of open. You got your pine straws and, you know, with API and the players with all the water in play, all that kind of stuff. We head to Valspar at Innisbrook here, Copperhead, and it's a par 71, 7,350-yard golf course, which got four par fives and three par threes, which is usually flipped around on a par 71. So that's a little interesting as well. So you still get the four par fives, which is great to see. It's been lengthened a little bit in the last couple of years through renovations, but the biggest thing about Copperhead, which we know because we've seen this course many times, is unlike the last couple of courses, it's a very tree-lined golf course, lots of dog legs. So similar to the API and the players, you still need to be good off the tee and, you know, hit your spots, and then your approach game is still very important. That's a key to Florida golf for the most part. But with Copperhead here, is the trees come into play so much that you could get in a lot of trouble if you're out of whack, where the players, you saw the pine straw, like I mentioned, in some other places, they could wiggle around, or you're in a bunker because you're off the fairway, but you get a good fairway bunker lie type deal and you can make things work. Here you might get in the trees and now you're chipping just directly across from you to get out of there, stuff like that. So that changes things here. So off the tee is important, thus why how did Jordan Spieth win here? 2015 is the only reason, because if the guy that we saw last weekend shows up here, oh boy, that's going to be a sight to see. So you got to be very accurate. You should be very accurate off the tee. Approach game's important. The greens are relatively small also, compared, like, they're not pebble small, but relatively small. You get your Bermuda like you do through most of the South here, a little bit of ryegrass as well. You do have water in play on nine holes, but I think you got to be a little more wayward to get involved in the water here at Copperhead. There's sand everywhere. There's 74 bunkers on the golf course, so you need to have good scrambling skills. Like Jesse mentioned, the scores here, it's not going to be a birdie fest. So just saving par, bogey avoidance will be big. And then everyone's going to talk about the snake pick 16, 17, and 18, which are extremely challenging golf holes that will make for a phenomenal finish. Let's put it that way. If things are tight, just like the players did, 16, 17, 18 was a great finish there as well. So it's a typical Florida course, outside the fact that water's not as much in play and the trees make, to me, accuracy much more important. And it's kind of like, it's a long course, but it's not a driver course due to the driving accuracy necessary. What kind of stats are you looking at?
Yeah, I think you did a great job there. Par five scoring matters this week, bogey avoidance, and then there's plenty of course history to wait.
Lots of course history. And I think I'm going to kind of roll with that on this one, honestly. I do want current form, but I think course history tells me guys are comfortable here, does help, but we'll see. I'll probably completely ignore that as we get farther into the show here. Let's get to it. DK this week. We have actually a really good field considering – we just had an elevated event. We just had the players, which was basically an elevated event on crack. And then we get the Houston Open, I think, next week, and then the Masters. We're shortly there. No, the Masters is like 3 weeks away. So we got some time there. But I figured a lot of guys would take the week off, personally. They did not. Four guys over 10K. You got JT at 10-8, who literally goes, shoots an 80, and then ties the course record to make the cut of the players. Another thing we didn't talk about. Holy crap. Xander Schauffele at 10-5. Tommy Fleetwood at 10-3. And Sepp at 10,000, who was my one and done play and forgot how to play golf on Sunday. Who you liking in this range?
Yeah, I mean, all four are definitely playable. JT's interesting because, like you said, he shoots 78 Sunday or Thursday, 62 on Friday to make the cut. He had like a 3% chance of making the cut when he started the round. And then 73-73 the next 2 days. So really one good round. And he finishes where T33rd. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, usually a lot of times when these guys shoot these really low rounds, it's very difficult to back it up. Don't get me wrong, but it means that they are finding something, or, you know, they're, I don't know. A lot of times I think they're on a precipice of a win whenever you shoot early low round like that. So I think JT is playable. I don't know where Xander's at as far as, plus JT's made the cut at this golf course four straight years, 64th last year. So not great, but before that he had three straight top 13s. Xander, is he still hurt? I don't really know. He finished his 72nd last week. He has good course history, 5th and 12th in his two starts at this event. I think I'm going to probably just love Fleetwood. 3rd and 16th in two starts here, 23 and 22. 14th, 11th, 5th in his last three starts on tour, which are all like elevated, much better fields than this, tough golf courses. Why would you not play Fleetwood?
Yeah, I'm not opposed to it. I guess why wouldn't you play Fleetwood? I'll give you the one answer. He doesn't win.
Yeah, he doesn't win. I get that.
That's like my only, like, I love everything else you mentioned. 1,000% agree. He's 5th in my model over the last 24 rounds. He's 1st in good drives. Just talked about that. He's 7th in approach in this field, 6th in tee to green, 4th in bogey avoidance. Basically everything you want at this golf course, sure. Tommy Fitz. So, and he's coming in great form. So I agree with everything you said. It's just at 10-3, do we want the winner? Do we need the winner? Probably. That's the only conundrum that would fight Fleetwood. Other than that, 1,000% agree with playing Tommy Fleetwood, and I will have a few shares. I'm not saying don't play him, but that'd be my only, like, if I had to play devil's advocate on Tommy Fleetwood. Sepp Straka at 10K, I love. I'm like, the price tag, I think, is going to scare a lot of people off, to be honest, and I'm here for that. He's 3rd in my model, 8th in approach, 5th in good drives, 7th tee to green, 12th bogey avoidance, 6th on the par 5s. He rates out phenomenally. Just like, again, he's 3rd and Tommy's 5th in my model. So Sepp, outside of a bad Sunday, was had another great week at the Players. He's playing phenomenal golf right now. He's 14th last week, 5th at the API, 11th at the Cognizant. So coming into form in Florida. History here is not great. Missed cut last year. Then in 2019, he finished 46th. So if you want to go that angle, that's fine. But I think he comes in super low owned. So I love some Sepp this week. Zero problems with Tommy. I'm probably just going to avoid JT or Xander. If I had to pick one, I'd take JT, just because I don't know if Xander's there yet. I could be wrong. I think he could show up at any week, but I'll pass on that and give me Fleetwood or Straka and then jump into the 9K range. Speaking of the 9K range, you got Sam Burns, who used to own this place. Corey Connors at 96. Ash K with Drew. Shane Lowry at 94. Willie Z at 93. Tom Kim at 92. There's Spieth at 91. Alex Smalley at 9K. Before you go, just so you, just one of another joke at Spieth here, just to show how out of whack his golf game is, but still he somehow competes. He's 97th in my model, but it just makes me laugh. But who you got in this range?
It's because his short game is so good. Corey Connors at 9,600, 22nd or 21st here in 2021, which was his only start, 6th and 3rd in his last two starts, which is the Players and the API. I mean, if you think about like ball strikers and courses like this where the score is not going to be 20-something under, Corey Connors definitely fits the mold. Shane Lowry at 94. He's 2 out of 2 made cuts here, 12th and 49th in his two starts. 20th last week, 7th at the API. So playing some solid golf coming in. Zal Torres, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he has one bad round last week and finishes 30th. So shoots 78 on Saturday. It was windy. He had one really god-awful hole. I mean, he was in contention and just fell off the side of the map. I don't know if you saw his scorecard or not on Saturday.
I heard about it, yeah.
But, I mean, so 30th, 22nd, 24th coming in. I mean, it's not like he's missing cuts, playing all these elevated events and making cuts, finishing kind of, you know, in the inside the top 30. So it's not terrible. And then – I mean, I've got him checked off, Jordan Spieth.
I don't fault anybody for doing it because he is the total wild card that would prove us all wrong.
You know, missed cut last year, 3rd in 23, hadn't, and then go back to 2000. He had a 5-year gap there. 2018, missed cut, 18th and 16, 1 and 15. I mean, the course history is mixed, especially more recently, but he does have some success here in the 3rd place finish in 23. You know, obviously the tee ball is a major issue, but I mean, at 9,100, I would be willing, if I was playing 150 lineups, to put Jordan Spieth on a few.
And you know what's crazy? The T-ball is wild, but he's 39th in this field in good drives. So it's not like he's, he's not even below average. Like, he's still sitting okay. It's essentially his scrambling's actually been horrible, ironically, and putting in this field, which is very strange, or this whole system's broken, one of the two. But, yeah, I don't hate it. Like, I get it with Spieth. Just don't put him in a cash lineup is all I would say. Just don't do that. I love Connors, 1,000% with you on that one. I think he's going to be very chalky. Played great last week. Plays well here. Perfect type of setup for him. Shane Lowry, he's fourth in my model, 9,400 bucks. I just keep playing Shane. I'm a sucker for this, but I'm a sucker for Shane at low-scoring events, and that's what this is. He's fifth in approach over the last 24 rounds, fifth from tee to green, 13th in scrambling, 14th bogey avoidance. He's basically a poor man's Fleetwood. Like, he might not ever win again, but he's going to, you know, hang around, should do his thing for the most part. He had a horrible Saturday at the Players, which a lot of people did with that weather. I'm with you at Willie Z. I have him checked off 11th in my model. He's, you know, as weird as the finishes have been, Jesse, he's 15th in approach over the last 24 rounds. He's 17th from like 175 to 200. He's 13th on the par five scoring. His putting and his around the green game is what's killing him right now. And that could hopefully tweak and he's good to go. So I don't hate that in tournaments either. And then I'll check off Alex Smalley if you just want to run the hot hand out there with Smalley. Coming in with that 14th at the Players, obviously kind of went bye-bye towards the end on Sunday. But it was 18th at the Cognizant, 10th at the Mexico Open. So none of the other elevated events, but he's put some good rounds in together. And miscut here last year, 27th, miscut the year before. So event history, not great, but 26th in the model. And if you look, he's fifth around the green, first like scrambling, 14th tee to green, third in bogey avoidance. It's his proximity bucket from 175 to 200, which crushes his entire ranking for me. But I think he could be a nice one at 9K that I think most might go to Spieth or the guy below him. So he might get some cheaper, Alex Smalley. 8K range, the guy below him, Michael Kim, 8,900 bucks, was so cheap last week and missed the cut. Lucas Glover, 88, Poston, 87, Taylor Moore, 86. Clanton is back after winning another tournament on college at college, 8,500 bucks. Vic Hovland at 84, he is broken. Adam Scott means he's going to win now that I said that out loud. Adam Scott, 83, Binion, 82, Knapp, 81, and Cam Young, 8,000. What are you doing in the 8K range?
Yeah, this is it's kind of a mixed bag here. Michael Kim, 8,900. I like him coming off the miscut. He's made the last two cuts at this event, 33rd and 45th, and he's playing much better golf than he was last year or the year before coming into this event. You know, he shoots 75 on Thursday last week and backs it up with a 69 to just miss the cut. So I like going back to Michael Kim. Lucas Glover, he's an enigma to me. I never get him right, but and I always feel like anytime he has a good finish, he immediately has a bad finish, which was true. AT&T finished third, then missed the cut in Phoenix. But if you go back to the fall, two straight top threes. So, you know, it's possible. And like, you know, obviously if you're one a guy who's great tee to green, Lucas Glover is great tee to green, generally speaking. I've got Hovland checked off, man. I mean, 33rd and third in his two starts here. Now that was 22 and 21. That was a different Vic Hovland. The weird thing about Vic is like, so last week he shoots 80 the first day, backs it up with a 68. At the API, missed the cut at the API too, and shoots 77, 72. He's just getting off to bad starts. I don't know if that's something mental for him or what, but at this price, I would be willing to take a couple chances with him on some lineups. Jake Knapp is interesting because, like, you don't think, like, you know, when we thought Jake Knapp, we thought Mexico Open wide open, just blast it, go find it, and then knock it on the green, try to make a putt. But the last 2 weeks, I mean, 12th and sixth, which is pretty incredible. He's playing really, really, really good golf right now. And he's never played here, but I think he's playable. I never get Cam Young right. I've got him checked off, but like, I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and uncheck him. You tell me if we play Cam Young or not.
Oh, I don't ever play Cam Young. I don't think, at least not for a long time. I haven't.
He has like this insane following on Twitter him every single week.
Well, it wasn't so long ago when he was half decent. Everyone's like, he's the next Scottie Scheffler. Look at how good he is and all of this stuff, except he's going the wrong direction right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's 146 in my model, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, he shot 81 on Saturday at the Players, so I don't know. I'm not a huge Cam Young guy believer, but
there's always a handful of guys in a field that's like, okay, if you win, I'll tip my cap, but I'm just not going to play you. And Cam Young's going to be one of them. Like, if he ever figures it out, kudos, congrats. But that just won't be my week, is how it comes down. 1,000% on Jake Knapp. I'm glad you said what I was going to. If you didn't, like, I have him 16th in my model. He's 10th in approach. He's 11th in scrambling. He's 8th in bogey avoidance. It's like you mentioned, everyone thinks it's this guy that just bombs stuff, and he does. He's a hell of a driver of the golf ball, but he's just a good player, and this Florida swing has showcased that. So I think at $8,100, that could be a nice one. And I do have Vic checked off as well, Jesse. I've sprinkled him in every week because of his price tags. I know the talent is there somewhere. He hasn't gone full Max Homa just yet, and I would love to see Max Homa come back someday, but you know what I'm trying to say in that regard. Vic's $8,400. He's 14th in my model. He's 6th in approach, 11th in good drives, 5th from 175 to 200. Bogey avoidance, he's 96, but you want to know why his bogey avoidance is bad? He's 140th in scrambling. He's 117th in putting. It's his short game that is crushing him right now.
Yeah.
And this is a course that requires really good tee to green. So if you get off the tee box well, your approach is good. Who knows? Like, we might be asking a lot to figure out how to chip and putt, but you mentioned backed up the 80 with a 68. We know the skills are there. Can you do it for four rounds? It's the $1 million question. But if you can do it for 3.5 rounds, $8,400, we're going to be money ahead. So, I have no problem like sprinkling that into a situation. Taylor Moore at 86. He's 50th in my model. He's 10th in good drives. The approach game is kind of iffy. 7th in par fives, though. He's still 19th in tee to green. So he's basically maybe not finding fairways, but his putting's atrocious. That's what's killing him, is his putting. You look at recent events for Taylor Moore, 33rd at the Players, 42nd at Cognizant, 34th Mexico Open. So nothing crazy there, but history, 12th here last year, won it 2 years ago after a miscut in 2022. So don't mind going back to him. Glover, I'll go back to $8,800. He's 29th in my model. He's doing everything very well except from 175 to 200, but everything else is pretty darn good. And then I'm definitely with you on Michael Kim. I'm assuming because people are smarter now, they will as well, the whole after the cut thing. But even after missing the cut and playing so bad, still second in my model. He's playing that well. $8,900, he's still second around the green. He's third in scrambling, second tee to green. He's still first in bogey avoidance and 11th in par five. So I'll go right back to Michael Kim on that one. All right, 75 to 79. It goes from Jaeger at 79, Ben Griffin at 79, all the way down to Gerard and Rasmus Højgaard at 75. So who do you like in this range?
Start with Ben Griffin at 79. He's made his only two starts at this event. He's made the cut, so that bodes well. He's coming off a miscut, similar to Michael Kim. He was playing really good before that, 45th, 4th, 4th, 44th. Leading into the Players' Championship, where he shot 71, 74. So he wasn't super far off. The Gallet at 7,100 at this price is very interesting to me. He does tend to spray it quite a bit. So that's a little bit concerning. But 7th here in 2022, 52nd last week, missed the cut, the API, had a bunch of made cuts in a row before that. Sith, I think, will figure it out before too long. Keith Mitchell at 7,800, 3 out of 3 made cuts here. Come off a miscut at the Players. Dietrich, 17th here last year. Back-to-back miscuts for Dietrich. He shot 79 in round one last week, but 68 the next on Thursday or Friday. So Bazenhut at 76, 2 out of 2 made cuts, finished 9th here last year. Coming off a miscut at the Players. And Gerard, 7,500. 71, finished 71st in 2023 and 42nd last week. He's going to go under the radar. Nobody's going to play him at this price at 7,500. And he's just kind of a make the cut kind of dude, cash a check kind of guy. So I like Gerard at 75.
I have Gerard checked off as well at 75. He's 40th in my model for many of the same reasons you mentioned. He's been making cuts, giving you top 30s, might sneak into a top 20, you never know. So I don't hate that at $7,500, a nice stable piece that maybe makes a run this weekend. I have Seabez checked off as well because he's been playing really good golf like before last weekend. It feels like, even though I look at his numbers, his approach game is atrocious. His par five scoring, he's 149th in this field. It's bad, like real bad. But he keeps getting finishes out there, so don't mind sprinkling him in. Bud Cauley, I'll go back to that. He sticks to my model, got that medical exemption taken care of last week. He's eighth in tee to green over the last 24 rounds, which is outstanding. Decent at bogey avoidances. He's pretty good around the green as well. So don't hate that. Keith Mitchell, he's 31st in my model. You know, the putter has been his crutch as usual. And he's pretty much just average in everything else. That's why he's 31st in the model. But you look at recent form, missed cut at the Players, 42nd at Cognizant. It does not scream, play me, but 17th here last year with a 69 in 2021. We know Killer Keith loves that Bermuda when he gets going. And then Ben Griffin, I'm going to keep riding him. I know he's been playing a ton of golf lately. Missed the cut last week, which might help because 45th, 4th, 4th, 44th, playing some really strong golf from Ben Griffin. Maybe give him a couple days off. Finished 17th here last year, 45th the year before. Don't mind that. And then I got Jaeger bombs checked off. I was very impressed with Jaeger, the way he started on Thursday, like going for the first round leader at the Players. I did not think he had that in his skill set at that golf course. He finished 20th, missed cut at the API, 6th at Mexico, 44th at Genesis. Like, he kind of feels like another Jake Knapp type. Like, I just want to bomb it and, you know, scramble my butt off to go from there. Didn't play here last year, 27th the year before after back-to-back missed cuts. I think Jaeger's one you can get extremely low owned in this field, and I don't mind taking my chances on that one. Before we go farther, I just want to mention this. I'm making a list here. I may make one lineup in my 20 max that's going to have all these guys we think will be back someday. Spieth, Hovland, Cam, and Pagala. You can fit all four of them in your lineup right now.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, like, no one would be shocked if they have good weeks, but, you know, for all of them to have a good week, probably not my cards, but super low is all I'm going to say. I'm going to throw that one together.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Just make it a list as we keep going.
Yeah.
All right. 7K to 7,400. It starts out with Nicholas Norgaard Muller at 74, Jacob Bridgman and Horschel and Novak. So four guys at 74. All the way down to about 12 guys at 7K, highlighted by Mackenzie Hughes and Thorbjørn Olesen. Who do you like in this range?
Start at 7,400 with Novak. 17th and 27th in his last two starts at this tournament. Come off a missed cut last week, 34th Players, missed cut Cognizant, 13th Genesis, missed cut Phoenix, 13th AT&T. I mean, he's just completely up and down. But if you like patterns, should be a made cut this week based on those starts, and he likes the place. Højgaard at 7,300. He's never played here. He's come off a missed cut last week, but 18th and 8th and 8th in his two starts before that. Matt Wallace, 7,200. 17th and 7th the last 2 years at this event. His last event that he played was Puerto Rico. He finished 26th. For that, he missed two straight cuts. 44th, missed cut. It's Matt Wallace. And then Bramlin at 7,100. He's 4 out of 4 made cuts at this tournament. His best finish was last year at 17th. Finished 17th. He's coming off a third place finish in Puerto Rico, which was the opposite of field event to the API. He did miss the cut at the Farmers, but before that had made 6 straight cuts. So Bramlett would be the last guy that I'm looking at in this range.
Yeah, I'm with you on Novak, 48th in my model. He needs to find the fairway. If he can do that, he's going to be pretty successful this week, it feels like, so don't mind him. Jacob Bridgman, $7,400, had him last week, and then he fell apart on Saturday. It's a trend with my lineup. But still finished 50th at the Players, 15th at the API, 2nd at the Cognizant, 34th at Mexico. So I'm going to keep riding that Bridgman train. Missed the cut here last year in his debut. Novak was 17th and 27th. Billy Ho finished 12th here, if you're into that kind of thing. But a couple other guys, $7,300. Joe Highsmith, he's coming in, ranked 12th in my model. His scrambling is not great at all, but everything else is his putter is very good. His approach game, he's 24th in the field. His 175 to 200, he's 4th in the field. He's 20th on the par fives. He won a few weeks ago, if you want to go that train. The number one player in my model, I had pretty much this guy and Ludvig Åberg in all of my lineups last week, and that went well. Nikolaj Højgaard is first in my model. His he's around the green game is not ideal, given he's 26th in scrambling, but his strokes gained around the green, 92nd. But he's 2nd in approach, 20th in good drives. He's 2nd from 175 to 200. He's 6th from 200 to 225 on those par threes, which you need. He's 7th in bogey avoidance. He just has basically great iron play is what it comes down to. So Nikolaj Højgaard at 73, I'll go right back to that train. I've been playing him every week. Last week, like I said, not great at all with the missed cut, but he was 18th at the Cognizant, 8th at the Mexico Open. He was playing really well in Europe too. So give me some Nikolai Højgaard. Max McGreevy is 28th in my model. He's at $7,200. He's 20th to the players, 40th to the API, 4th Cognizant, 25th to Mexico. So he's coming in really good form. Kevin Roy is 13th in my model. Another guy playing well. He's played well here in the past, so I wouldn't hate on that. I have Bramlett as well. He's 20th in my model, not to mention the 4 straight made cuts here. As you mentioned, he's 4th in tee to green and 6th in around the green here, so that'll help as well. And then we got to go to one. Went 6 under on Friday to make the cut. Joel Dahman at $7,000. He is 15th in my model. Joel Dahman finished 54th last week, 32nd at the Cognizant, 6th at the Mexico Open. A little deeper on Joel. He's made at least 4 straight cuts here. 49th, 61st, 39th, 30th. So not like elite finishes, but making cuts at 7K. I will definitely have my share of Joel Dahman once again this week and ready to sweat it out on Friday. All right, 6K range. Who you liking?
Adam Schenck, just pure course history, semi-decent form coming in, but second here 2 years ago, 33rd last year. Danny Walker was this kid, 6,900 now. He's played Sawgrass over 100 times, and maybe that's why.
I played my home course 100 times, and I don't think I'm winning a golf tournament anytime soon.
Yeah, but I mean,
get what he's saying. I get it. Yes.
I mean, 4 straight made cuts for the guy. He's never played at this particular golf tournament. Chandler Phillips at 6,700, third here last year. Rio, 6,600. Never played here, but 18th his last start, which was Puerto Rico. Van Wyck. Man, I don't know. He's had one start on my list here, and he's at 6,400. He finished 4th at Puerto Rico. Noah Goodwin, 6,300. 12th Puerto Rico, 49th Mexico, 63rd Farmers. Never played here, so good luck if you are down there.
Yes, good luck. I kind of just stopped scrolling after a while, but yeah. Andrew Putnam at 69, he's 9th in my model. He's 2nd in the field in good drives, 13th strokes gained around the green, 1st in the par 3s, 200 to 225, and 5th in bogey avoidance, which I like to see down here in this range. Not to mention, where is Putnam? I just had him here. He missed the cut at the Players, but 11th at the Cognizant, 49th at Mexico Open. And past history, though, 3 straight missed cuts here. So pick your poison. Form is really good right now with Putnam. Has not played too well here before, but the tools rate out pretty good. Chan Kim is 6,900 this week, and he's another guy. If you look at him, missed cut at the Players, but 16th to Puerto Rico, 32nd Cognizant, 17th to Mexico. So played really well in the alt events. Keep that in mind, but showed decent form there. Finished 67th here last year. Danny Walker, Adam Schenck, for the reasons you mentioned. Matty Schmid and Grayson Sigg are two guys I wouldn't mind at 68. If you're down here, Schmid finished 17th here last year with the miscut the year before. Sigg's made 3 straight made cuts here, 45th, 57th, 48th. Matthew McCarty is another one at $6,700 that I was looking at. Finished 20th at the Players, 48th at the Cognizant, 63rd at the Mexico Open. Has never played here before, at least not that I have on record. And then K.H. Lee has made 3 straight cuts here, including a 9th, a 19th the last 2 years. Recent form is not great. He's missed 4 straight cuts. So that's only if you're like really desperate at $6,200 and you really want to trust course history is all I'm going to say on that one. But that's like pure desperation mode. All right. Recapping things for the week here, Jesse, top play 10K and above.
I'm going to say Fleetwood.
I'm going to go Straka, 9K range.
I'll say Corey Connors.
Yes. So you got Connors. I'll take Willie Z. No. I'll follow my model. Shane Lowry. All right, 8K range.
I'm going to say Michael Kim.
Yep. You're going to go Michael Kim. I will go with Jake Knapp, 75 to 79.
Thigala.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting week for Thigs. Looking forward to seeing that. I'll go with Bud Cauley, 7K to 74.
Bramlett.
Nikolai Højgaard, please figure it out this week. 6K range.
Schenck.
Andrew Putnam for me. All right, if you're playing cash this week, Jesse, where are you starting things out?
That's a great question. I'd probably go Lowry, Ben Griffin, Keith Mitchell.
Yeah, I go Lowry. Weirdly enough, probably Lucas Glover. Just feels kind of safe these days. I don't know if he wins, but he feels safe. Probably never the right thing to say in golf. And give me Billy Ho if you're going to go with cash. Like, boring, but could get it done. Tournaments, though, where are you looking?
Fleetwood, Jake Knapp, and Bramlett.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sepp Straka, Michael Kim, and Jake Knapp as well. I think Knapp's – I really don't think he's going to be widely owned, but I could be misreading that completely. All right, who you got winning this thing? Odds are, you know, kind of better at this.
Yeah, week. Yeah. I mean, this was 14-1 instead of 4-1. I got Shane Lowry at 25-1.
I like
that. Kim and Glover at 40-1, and then Jake Knapp at 50-1.
All right, looking at some top 20s here. If you do believe in Cbez, like we talked about, he's +300 to top 20. Nikolai Højgaard, who I always believe in, he's +350 to top 20. I would sprinkle that. And if you want some like longer shots, it gets real, real, real interesting back here. And I don't really like much. Bramlett maybe at +450. But I think, you know, let's look at the top 30 odds here real quick and scroll down to these bad boys at the bottom. Yeah, you got some good numbers here now. Joel Dahman, the top 30, +240. Don't hate that. Bramlett +260 for the way he's played at this golf course. I didn't even get to Cam Davis. He could be interesting this week. If you like Adam Shank's course history, he's +300 to top 30. Danny Walker's +300 as well if you want to run that track back. So I think the top 30 market, really enough, is kind of interesting this week. All right. I'm going to wrap it up there, my friend. Any final thoughts before we head on out of here?
I don't. 3 weeks till the Masters. That's all that matters, really.
Darn close. Houston Open next week, then the Valero. So I'm guessing Houston's not going to have the biggest field that we're looking forward to next week.
Say those next two tournaments are going to be really weak.
Yeah, I think Scotty agreed to the Valero. I think Ludwig did the Valero. A couple guys ramping up for the Masters. But I'm guessing, like I said at the start of the show, the fact we've got so many from API players and decent field this week,
right?
I think in Houston's going to be a little rough around the edges next week. So
yeah,
we'll have you guys covered there and much, much more. But until then, make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Entrick. And for now, this is your 2025 Valspar Championship preview. Catch you all next time.